talk to you about something more extraneous. I don't know which of the chera from last year, this year, the guys are moving around, but I always felt very, very comfortable, particularly in this room, talking about in the Yonim of Pneumius. So I want to share with you a machshava. Even though it sounds a little bit that it's up in the air, but it's also very, very much comes down to Asiya Shabasiya, to the kelim of our lives of this world. This Shabbos in Mitzvah Shem, there's a lot of light, there are a lot of ayurs that are converging, that are going to be shining this Shabbos. It's all about Shira, it's all about song. Shabbos Parshas B'Shalach is called Shabbos Shira. Whenever we name, we have a Masorah to call Shabbos by a certain name, it means it defines the essence of that Shabbos. Now every Shabbos is a time of Shira. We're makabel Shabbos with the words Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. We bring in Shabbos with singing, with song. But in particular, when it's Shabbos Shira, when it's the Shabbos of Oz Yoshe Moshe of Nei Yisrael Sashira HaZoyz, the Shira Sayam, the song of the Yam. But it's more than that. Besides the regular Shabbos Shira, the song of Shabbos, the song of Adam Rishon Doing Tshuva, the song of Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, and besides that it's Shabbos Shira of Oz Yoshe Moshe, the Shira of Kriyas Yamsuf, Shira Sayam. In addition to that, a person who has good ears is able to hear this Shabbos, Shiras Ha'aretz, the song of Eretz Yisrael, the song of Tu B'Shvat, the song of Eretz Yisrael, the song of Tu B'Shvat. And how do we know that Eretz Yisrael has a song? So some of you who have learned this Haram know, you're familiar with that. And there are psukim that allude to this in many places. Chumi Zimras Ha'aretz. When Yaakovina told the Shvatim to go back to Yosef, to go back to Mitzrayim, to bring a gift. So you remember that Yaakovina said, Chumi Zimras Ha'aretz. Take from the Zimras Ha'aretz, which of course the simple pshat means, take from the best fruits of the land, Zimras Ha'aretz. But Rabbi Nachman taught that Yaakovina was telling the children, Go and bring Yosef HaTzadik, the Zmiris of Eretz Yisrael. Go and bring to him the song of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has a song, Zimras Ha'aretz. When we speak about Mashiach coming, it says in Pasuk, Miknaf Ha'aretz, Zmiris Shamanu. That from the edge of the land, from the end of the land, from Eretz Yisrael, Zmiris Shamanu. We begin to hear the song of redemption, the song of Geula. In Shir Shir, Hanitzonim Niru Ba'aretz, Eis Hazamir Higia. Again, hinting to the end of time, to the coming of Mashiach, the words Eis Hazamir. Now, Zamir literally is talking about a bird. It sings. But the word Zamir is from the word Zemer. Right? Zemer, Zemirs. So Eretz Yisrael has a song. Obviously, Tu B'Shvat is the yontif that celebrates the peiros of Eretz Yisrael, that celebrates the beauty of the land. It's also about the song of the land. Now, we understand that there's a song when it comes to Shabbos, and we bring in Shabbos with Shira every Shabbos. And those who have learned a little bit this Svarim know that the song is connected to the tshuva of Adam Harishon, which is the Inyan that Rav Kook talks about, Shira Satshuva, the song of tshuva, of returning to Hashem's Baruch. Because in life there are low notes and there are high notes. And that's the song of our lives. And we understand that Shabbos is a song. The tshuva of Adam Arishon after he ate from the tree. And we also all understand, certainly we understand Shabbos Shira, the song of Moshe Bnei Yisrael when he crossed through the Yam Suf. The song of Oz Yosheh, we also understand. But what I want to talk about now for the next few minutes is what is the meaning of Shiras Ha'aretz? What's Zimras Ha'aretz? What's the song of Tu B'Shvat? What's the song of Eretz Yisrael? Zimras Ha'aretz. Zmirais Miknaf Ha'aretz. Zmirais Shaman. What's the song of the land? What's the song of Eretz Yisrael? And how does it affect our avoda right now, even though we're very, very far from Eretz Yisrael? In Eretz Yisrael this past week, it was 70 degrees and sunny. And when I was there a few weeks before, it wasn't like that at all. But last week, I had a couple of my children were there, sunny and beautiful, and they were getting ready for a big snow that never happened. It was a little snow that happened, but not a big snow. And now here we are, sitting in Washington Heights, getting ready for a really big snow. And maybe it won't happen. I don't know. Looks like it's happening. Hope it won't happen, but it might happen. What is Zimras Ha'aretz? What's the song of Eretz Yisrael? And can we sing it even here in Chutz La'aretz? Can we hear that song in Chutz La'aretz? And how does it apply to every single minute of our lives? So listen carefully, because Bemis, it's a much bigger talk, a bigger inyan, and I just want to be makatze. There are two types of shira. The one that we're most familiar with is when there is something extraordinary that takes place. The best example in the Torah is when we walk through the Yam Suf. When nature is completely suspended. All the laws of nature are suspended. When a person comes into contact with something which is mamish crazy, beyond this world. And there's no way to express that in words. You can't express that in words. It's something which is beyond this world, and it can't be articulated in words of this world. So we have a certain koach that's called shira. The essence of a song, of course, is not the lyrics. The essence is the niggun. But that's one type of shira. There's another kind of shira that we're going to have to work on a little bit more to understand. The other kind of shira, the one that we can pick up on, Mitz Hashem, in the month of Shvat, Shabbos Shira, Tu B'Shvat, in the year which is Shemitah, we're now in Shemitah, and the song of Eretz Yisrael is mamish, mamish, as loud as it could be. Shabbos Shira, Tu B'Shvat, Shemitah. What is this second song? I guess the best way to sum it up is that it's the song of Shulchan Aruch. What do I mean by that? There is a way of life that's becoming less and less popular these days, which is why it's very, very hard to have people, especially Bochum, to come to one place at one time, consistently, week after week, day after day. It's very, very hard. Because there's a certain song, and I'm going to explain why it's called the song in a second. There's a song of consistency, of routine, of structure, of halacha, of hasmada. There's a song. What does that mean? What's that song? Are any of you familiar with the Perek Shira? It's become more popular to say it because we know that Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Nosi, promised such a thing. He promised tremendous things in this world and in Olam Haba. If a person says Perek Shira every day, there are all kinds of promises that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Rabbi HaKadosh made for a person who says Perek Shira every day. So Perek Shira is a very, very remarkable collection of psukim attributed to different parts of creation. The ocean has a song, the trees have a song, flowers have a song, rivers have a song, and all different animals. The elephant has a song. The zvuv, a fly, has a song. The kelev has a song. The dog, the cat, and so on. And each animal and each part of creation in the Perek Shira expresses its love for Hashem, its gratitude to Hashem, with this pasuk. That doesn't mean that if you listen to the fly, you're going to hear the fly saying anything. That's not what it means. And if you listen to the ocean, even though we say by Kabbalah Shabbos, Mikolas Maim Ravim Adirim Rishbeyam Adirim Hashem, we don't hear the song of the ocean, the shira, the pasuk of the ocean. We don't hear the song of Shemaim. We don't hear the song of Aris. We don't hear the song also by Kabbalah Shabbos. We say Naharus Yimcha'u Chaf. No, Yachad. Harim Yiranenu. You ever hear the mountains singing? Yachad says Naharus Yimcha'u Chaf. It says the rivers are clapping. Yachad Harim Yiranenu. And the mountains are singing. Also, what kind of song is that? What kind of clapping? What kind of a song is that? But we see the Chazal have revealed to us, and the Psukim in Tanakh are revealing to us, that all of creation is singing an absolutely magnificent song to the Bariyam, to the Creator. And every part of creation joins together with its contribution to that song. Of all of creation, the song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of creation. So again, what does that mean? Because obviously that's the song of the land. Eretz Yisrael has a song. That's what Rabbi Nachman said, that Yaakov was saying, Chumi Zimra Saritz, go and take the song of Eretz Yisrael. So what is the meaning of creation singing to God? Now everything that exists has a song to Hashem. So we find already by the Kadamayim, they talk about this in the Sefer Hikarim, in the Bali Hikarim, in the third Maimer, the beginning of the third Maimer, he talks about this. Svasemis, in this parish, many tzaddikim talk about this. That the word shir is connected to a number of interesting words. The word shir, shira, song, is connected to the word shura. What is a shura? What's the meaning of the word shura? Shura. A line. A straight line. A shura. Same letters. Shir has the same letters as the word yashar. Straight. Yashar. The word in Hebrew shur means also a wall. A powerful, strong wall. Do any of you know where we see that in Chumash? Where do we see that the word shur? Shin Vav Resh means a powerful wall. It says Ubnos Tzadu Alei Shor. Alei Shor means that Yosef HaTzadik was so beautiful, so handsome, that the girls in Egypt used to climb on top of the wall to get a look to see him. Alei Shor. It means a strong, powerful wall. What all of these words have in common is strength and consistency. A shura means when something has a seder, right? A line. It has a hemshech. A hemshech means that a person has a time every day of the week when he gets up to daven shacharis. I know that sounds very, very strange to some guys these days. But a person has a certain time. The time he davens. Whatever it is, his davening is 7:30, and you know every single day, you can set your watch, that at 7:23, that guy walks into shul. At 7:23, he walks into shul, puts on his tassel tefillin, and like a man, she's able to say a matoyu, an adonai olam, he's able to daven like a mensch. There's a shuvah, there's a kav, there's a wall, a powerful wall that means strength, of routine, of consistency, of dependability. You have a Jew that says, I'll pick you up at 6 o'clock. You have a friend that's giving list, I'll pick you up at 6 o'clock. And you're standing looking out the window, 6:05, 6:10, 6:15. Now sometimes it happens that a person is honest and he couldn't make it. I'm not talking about that kind of a situation. I'm talking about you could depend upon that guy to be completely what? Undependable. Then I'll give you a bigger chutzpah. He said, I'm picking you up at 6 o'clock. Wait for me. I'm in a hurry. You come to the guy's house at 6 o'clock, Cornish. He's not there. You try calling him, you text him or something, 10, 15 minutes later always, yeah, I'm on my way, I got held up, something happened, I'm going to be there, wait for me. It's just undependable. Undependable. The Baruch Shalom waits for a certain person to come, Shia starts at 11:30, whatever. Seder of learning starts in the Beis Medrash at 9 o'clock. The Baruch Shalom says, okay, 9 o'clock, Hever. 9 o'clock. Go to a shul, let's say the shul, Shabbos morning, let's say davening is called, for example, davening is called 8:30. And let's say it's a shul where normally there are 150 people silent. By the time it comes to having the challenge of Kiddush, there are 200 people, let's say, right? Even though there are 150 seats, some extra people show up for the chop. But davening starts at 8:30. How many people are there at 8:30? Depends. How many people are there at 8:30? How many people can Hashem count on to be there? Week after week, day after day. My father's Olga Zonzainen is already, Baruch Hashem, into his 90s, a while already. He should have long, healthy years with all of our families. My father davens at a certain minyan in his shul. He's medavening at the 7:30 minyan. Since he retired, which is already a long time ago, before he retired, he davened at the 6 o'clock. And now he davens at the 7:30 minyan. And it's not easy for him to walk. But you could set your watch. 7:20. You ask anybody from that place in Queens, from Hillcrest, where my father lives, what time Mr. Weinberger gets to shul, you can set your watch. And you have to understand that for a person his age, the hachanas start earlier, right? Much earlier. Just to be able to get to shul. You can set your watch. By the time brachas begin, my father's already in Thousand Film. He's already set a few kapitlach tilim, and he's ready to go. There's a song. The word shir is the word yashar. There's a song in creation. The song when creation functions the way it's supposed to. Now, the song of the elephant, the song of the horse. When we were in Eretz Yisrael, my wife and I took it. It was very hard to get around, but my daughter wanted to go to the zoo. She's in seminary, so we went to the zoo. We only had to pay half price that week, you know, because the girl at the counter said she doesn't think the animals are coming out, it's too cold. But we went and we saw a couple of animals. And at each of the animals, I took with me the Perek Shira, and we were learning the pasuk of that animal. At that, when we came to each place, each cage, each place, we sang a little bit the song of that animal. We said the pasuk and the song of that animal. Now, any person in his right mind knows that an elephant is not singing. That only happens like in Walt Disney or stuff like that. You know, like in Lion King or something, where animals all of a sudden like are dancing and singing. The song of the elephant is exceptionally deep. It's about the peel. An elephant is a peel. And the song of the elephant is about Nifla'os Habore, about the Pele of Hashem, of creation. What's the song of the elephant? The elephant's not about Bechira. I know that people think that animals have Bechira. You've been spending too much time with stuffed bears and stuffed dogs, you know. Cartoons, animals are not about it. They have no seichel. Whatever that seichel is, it's not a seichel. They're not Bali Bechira. The elephant does what it does. That's what it does. It's set on a certain course. I hope none of you are hurt or disappointed by that. Because you might have a dog at home that you think is like a big Bal Machshav or something. They're not. They have no Indian of these things. And I know people say, no, but my dog loves me. My dog sat shiva when Zaidi was nifta. You know, all of these things. The dog is... They're not Bali Bechir. But they were created with a certain koach, each animal, each part of creation, the rivers, the sun, the moon, was set in a certain way. And Hashem Yisbarach is talking to us about the song of creation. He's saying, Kindelach, I want you to be like that song. I want you to be like that song. I want you to show up at shul on time. I want you to be a person that when you tell your friend you're going to be there at 6 o'clock, you're there not at 6, you're there 5 to 6. I want you to find Seder in your lives. I want you to live in a strong, consistent way, like a wall, that what you believe in, you believe in. You don't believe in one thing when you're sitting by the Gemara during the day, and then on a Matzah Shabbos, you believe all of a sudden in foreign gods. And I'm only alluding to, I don't mean bowing down to Avodah Zarah. All of a sudden, you're not a yeshiva bacha. Like I've mentioned in the past ones, that a Svadisha Rav, I once heard him say that the word bocher is the Rosh HaTevis Bayom Chacham Ubalayla Rasha. It's the Rosh HaTevis bocher Bayom Chacham Ubalayla Rasha. During the day he sits by a blood gemara Bayom Chacham Ubalayla Balayla something else at night. No. A bocher, a yid, is a person whose entire existence is a song of erlichkeit, of sincerity, of dependability. It means that when you'll be married, your wives can count on you. When it comes to parnasa, obviously things happen in the world. And no one has a time to, when a person's trying his best and things don't work out, to be dependable with your children, fathers who the kids can count on, Jews that are bound to every single seif katan in Mishneh Berurah, Shulchan Aruch. That way of life, the way of consistency, the way of structure, is in Hashem's ears the most precious song. It's the most beautiful song. The word Yisrael is Shir Kel, the Jewish people, who Hashem can depend on. We're called Yisrael because Yisrael is the letters Shir Kel, the song of God. And the way with the song of God is that even a Jew who is over 90 years old knows that this is my job, this is my responsibility. I might not feel like singing this morning. I might feel like staying in bed this morning. But Hashem can depend on me to show up and shul. Not at 7:45, the davening starts at 7:30. Not at 8 o'clock. Not to run in like people are always undependable. You always see how they're running into shul. You ever notice that? They run into shul like you think like there was some kind of a... They're running away from some sort of a tsunami and they just managed to get to shul and they go, oh, like they made it and then they start to rush to put on their tefillin. No, they were just sleeping. They were just hanging out. They just... The minyan starts at 7:30 and they set their alarm for 7:28. Every single day. They're draying around until they come to Davin. 10 to 8, 5 to 8. To find something, or they go in there to Yisrael, you can go to one of the shtiblach, and you just look around a little bit and you find some. So if you hear this, starting, Baruch Hashem, and Lashon said, that's not for you. But you go someplace, there's Yishtabach. Okay, this is great. You know how it is in the shtiblach. You know what I'm talking about. You've been to Yisrael, right? You walk in, you look in the rooms over here where these guys hold. They say, come on, just starting with darling. Oh. Well, I was looking for 45 minutes, you understand? You go to the next room. Yishtabach, already getting ready for Baruch. No. All right. It would be better if it was Chazar Sashas, but... All right. That was comfort. There's no song. That's not a life of Shira, of Shira and Zimra. It's an amazing thing. You know where we see this? Listen. You just said it in Davening a little while ago. Mi chamocha be'ilam Hashem, mi chamocha neda v'kodesh, nora sihilos osei fela. Let's talk about those words. It's from this week's parasha, right? It's from the Shir Sayyam. Mi chamocha be'elim Hashem. Who is like you among all of the powerful ones in the world? You know the Chazal Darshan on the word Elim You know how sometimes Chazal say, don't read it this way, read it that way, altikri elo? So here, Chazal have an amazing thing. I'm not going to tell you the context in which it's discussed because it's a whole big shmuz just on that. But Chazal darshan on the word elim, micha mocha be'ilmim Hashem. Who knows what the word elim, what's micha mocha?
Mute.
Meaning, if we translate it to English, Hashem, who is as silent as you? Micha mocha be'ilmim Hashem. Who is as silent as you? Who's as unheard as you? Micha mocha be'ilmim Hashem. We don't hear in an obvious way Hashem speaking to us. We say, who is as silent as you? In the same way that Hashem is silent, there's a song that's coming from the rivers, from the lakes, from the elephants, from the giraffes, from the flies, from the bees, from everything in this world. There's a song. You can't hear it with your ears. That's not how you hear the song. Not the song of Hashem. Not the song of nature. Not the song of Eretz Yisrael, the song of Tu B'Shvat, of Shemitah. It's not a regular song that you could play on a piano. Micha Marcha Ve'elam Hashem means that there's a Shira Ilemes. There is a silent song. And that silent song is the song of everything in nature. Everything that Hashem created, doing what it was created to do. Our song, there are two types of songs. There are some Jews that the only time they sing, the only time that they're into Yiddishkeit, the only time they're into davening and learning, is when something unbelievable happens. Like when a person is in a great mood, he just married off his first kid. So then, like, he's dancing his heart out of the way. But on a regular day, you can't get this guy, forget about dancing, you can't get him to walk the shore. It's too far for him. He won't go daven. He davens in his house. Doesn't go to daven with you. When he married off his kid, he's dancing through the night. Because something great and exciting happened. It was a miracle that happened in his life. That's one kind of song. A song when something miraculous happens. But listen to what we say. Micha mocha be'ilam Hashem, micha mocha nedar v'kodesh. There's a second song that's called Nedar V'Kodesh. No Rasihilos Osefelim. The second song is when it's No Rasihilos, when it's amazing, awesome things that happen. Osefelim, when Hashem splits the ocean. When you on the day of your wedding, when you get married, and you're so grateful to Hashem. When something fantastic happens to you, and you sing your song to Hashem. Okay, that's beautiful. And we should be zochah to do that when we're 20. Those are the songs that are called Osefela. Those are the songs with music and with words that you could hear. But the song of the world, the song of Tu B'Shvat, the song of Eretz Yisrael, is the song of Micha Mocha Be'elim Hashem, is Be'ilmim Hashem. You can't hear it with your ears. But you could see it. When an old Jew walks into shul every day at the same time, you could see it. It doesn't look like it's very exciting. When a Bacha walks into Beis Medrash every day at the same time, and the two of them, him and his chavrus, are there. They open up the Gemara and they start learning. Strong, choma, shura, shir, yashar. And you can count on a person when it comes to business. Erlich, doesn't take a penny that doesn't belong to him. Not a penny that doesn't belong to him. Yashar, a straight person. Yashar is the Eisius shir. It's the most amazing song. Micha Mocha, it's like Hashem's song. It's a song that you can't hear with your ears. Micha mocha be'ilm Hashem, micha mocha be'ilmim Hashem. Everybody at the beginning of Zman, when you come for the first day of Zman, especially when it's an Elul, so that's the song, the first day of Zman, everybody sits down with the Gemara, they have like, they bought all the extra Svarim, you know, they bought the new Shita Mekubetza, so they have the Kovetz HaMefarshim and Ksubas, you know, fat thing with all the Ritvas and Rashbas, and they're all excited, and they brought Achroinim, and they brought all the pens and papers and notes and computers. They're all excited. We're going to learn Ksubas this year. I'm just going to the whole Masechta. I'm going to master this Masechta. It's going to be my Masechta Ksubas. But that song, oftentimes, doesn't have a hemshech. A shura, a line, a kav, means something that continues on. A wall is something that doesn't change. It's strong. How many people are able to sustain that? There's always that song of the beginning, which is exciting, you know, when you, something starts. Like when the couple just gets married, wow. They can't see anything else in the world. They look at each other. I only have eyes for you. It's an old song like that from the 50s or something. The mamish, they're not even listening to the rabbi making brachas under the chuppah. They're just like Google eyes. That's how their wedding, that's how their life together began. Let's see like 22 years from now. Like on a regular Tuesday in Shvat. It's cold outside. Let's see the song of their marriage. Not under the chuppah. It's not a big chachma. What's the song of their marriage going to be? 20 years from now, 30 years from now, what kind of a song is there? There are old couples like that. There are old couples. But even after 50 years of being married, you still see them on the boardwalk in Miami, you know, holding their hands, holding each other's hands and walking down the boardwalk. They still have that in them, that song. Most people, it's not like that. They get worn out by the monotony of life and stuff. And the song has died. It's not there anymore. But chuppah is no big chachma to sing. That's Osef Fela. That's the song of something amazing, of getting married. When you have a kid, so that guy's the happiest person, comes into shul, everybody's saying, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, oh, he's the happiest guy in the world. Let's see how happy he is, like, when it's on the Motzei Shabbos at 3:30 in the morning, and his little Baruch hasn't come home yet, and he's waiting for Baruch to come home he's hanging out with the guys. So is he still singing a big song of, oh, I'm so happy to have Baruch. I'm so excited. That kid drives me crazy. I don't know what I'm going to do with him. He makes my life miserable. What happened to the song? The greatest song that we offer to Hashem is Davke by Tu B'Shvat. What's Tu B'Shvat? It's a strange day. For us, it's mamish the winter. It's usually the coldest week of the winter. You know, we have a Kabbalah, it's brought down the Sfarim, it goes back to Eli Rabbah, we have an old Kabbalah, then Rosh Chodesh Shvat, when Rosh Chodesh Shvat comes out on a Wednesday, so it's going to be very, very big snow that winter. That's what happened this year, Rosh Chodesh Shvat was on Wednesday. It's going to be very cold, and there'll be a lot of big snow that winter. It's a Kabbalah like that. Someone told me that was going around on the internet today, or the other day, I don't know. But there's a Kabbalah like that. Tu B'Shvat's an amazing thing. In the middle of the winter, like a cold, cloudy, dreary day, like this Monday morning in Shvat, when you would just like to stay in bed, or maybe you're just feeling a little yontif because they canceled all the English classes today. But on a dreary, cold winter morning in Shvat, a person stops and remembers the song of Eretz Yisrael. When he hears Zimras Ha'aretz, when he hears Miknaf Ha'aretz Zmirais Shaman, when he hears the song of Eretz Yisrael, when on a cold day in Shvat, a person is able to be machazik himself and to remember who we are, where we belong, to believe in Mashiach Tzadkenu. You know, the people who keep Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael, Chazal bring on those people the pasuk, Gibore Koach Oseh Devar. Those who observe Shemitah, the farmers that still observe Shemitah, they're called Giborim, powerful warriors, heroes. Tell me, what's heroic about these people? They're farmers. They're nice, simple Jews. What makes them into Giborim? What makes them into heroic people? What makes them into heroic people is their belief in Hashem, is their consistency as Maminim. Is even though everybody else in the world is telling them, what are you nuts? You're not going to work this? You're going to take off the whole year? You're going to leave your field? You're just going to... So Chazal say, this pasuk, they bring this pasuk, Giborei Koach Oseh Devar, V'shomer Shviyas HaKosuv Medaber. It's talking about people who keep Shemitah. Roeh Sadeyu V'Karmo, a person that looks at his field, and he looks at his vineyard, and all kinds of strangers are just walking around, picking up all of his stuff, taking all of his fruit, taking all of his grapes and everything, Vishosek, and he's silent. That's the song of Shemitah. That's the gevurah of those who keep the seventh year, who keep Shemitah. The gevurah of the simple Jew, of the Poshut Yid, of the simple Jew who does what God wants him to do on a cold winter morning in Shvat. That's the song of Eretz Yisrael, of the land that does what Hashem wants. Of a Jew who does the will of Hashem, who lives according to the Ratzon of Hashem, not just when it's something fantastic, but when you don't hear it, when it's silent. Mi chamocha be'ilmim Hashem. in Shvat, you don't hear the song of Eretz Yisrael. If you're walking in Eretz Yisrael and it's a beautiful day, and Hashkedi Aparachas, and the almonds are beginning to grow, maybe you could then see, oh, Osefel, you could see the wonders of Hashem, how He makes a beautiful world. But certainly in Washington Heights, in Shvat, we don't see any trees growing over here. There's nothing happening. But a person who is connected to the song of Micha Mocha Be'ilim Hashem, Be'ilim Hashem, the silent Shira, of doing what God wants, of living a life that's yashar, that's honest, a life of a shura, a life that's like a wall that's strong, that's consistent, dependable, that's an amazing song. Of a simple chalut inside the Torah you have from Rabbi Nachman. I'll try to do this in... What time is... I have another 5 minutes, I don't know what to say. But so let's just do this Torah inside. I'll do it very quickly. It's Reish Mem Gimel. It's an amazing Torah. If you have to leave, then you should go. It's an amazing Torah. Rabbi Nachman says, Da. And you know that when he uses the word Da, it means he's drawing down the Torah from Atzilus, from the highest level. And he says, Da, you should know. Sheyesh Sadeh Godel Ma'od, Sheyna Olam Yochel Lizbol Kedusha Asam. There is such a thing as a great tzaddik who's so great that the world simply cannot bear his holiness. It's too much for the world. The world would not be able to understand this holiness. Al kein hu mis'alim oid, therefore he's very hidden. He's very, very hidden. Vein roi mimenu shum kedushu precious yisera. And we look at this great tzaddik whose light is so strong, whose kedusha is so great that the world wouldn't be able to deal with it. He's so hidden, and when you look at him, you don't see any special kedusha. He hides. He's very hidden. You don't see. Maybe these are the 36 hidden tzaddikim. You don't see kedusha. You don't see any precious yisera. You don't see, like, you know, that he fasts, he doesn't eat, and that he's like, you don't see that. It looks like he's a regular guy. Zemachmas godol kedusha samoy. That's because of his great kedusha, his tremendous level of kedusha. Zebechinus. Look what Rabbi Nachman says, an amazing thing. And this, by the way, is why Rabbi Nachman himself was so unbelievably misunderstood. Somebody just today mentioned to me something. He said, why is it that so many people are against Rabbi Nachman? A person who doesn't understand only things that are... A person only hears the songs that are screamed in his face. Only those things... Can't appreciate Rabbi Nachman, but a person who's connected to the deepest songs of creation. Rabbi Nachman says, "Zebechinus kol hashirim kodesh." Chazal say in the Mishnah Yedayim, "Kol hashirim kodesh." All songs are holy. Every song in Tanakh, everything is holy. But Shir Hashirim, that's kodesh kodesh. That's the holiest of holies. Nimtza sheshir hashirim hu kodesh ma'od. It means that Chazal are telling us that Shir Hashirim is so holy. It's so holy that it's dressed up in a way that's completely not holy. Shir Shim is so hidden. All the talks about Shir Shim is a guy and a girl, right? It's not like the Shir of Oz Yoshe or Shir Lashem Ki Go God or the Shir Sabir later on in Parshas Chukas. No. Shir Shim is about a guy and a girl that are in love with each other. You don't see Kedusha in it. It's the holiest of holies, Chazal say. But when you look at it, you don't see anything. You don't hear any song of kedusha. Nimsa shir shir Hashem who kadosh moi yoisa harbi mikol asvar. Rabbi Kiva said it's kadosh kadosha. V'ini metzina shishlam ha'melach alav shalom chiber shloisha svarim. You find the Shlomo Melech composed. He wrote three svarim: Mishlei, Koheles, and Shir Hashir. Ubam is Mishlei v'Koheles and kula milei musav yashamayim ma'od. Now, Mishlei and Koheles speak openly about what? About Musa and Yerushalayim. Those are obviously two books that are filled with Musa and Yerushalayim. Mishlei and Koheles. The books are all about Hashem. And the need for us to become better Jews. There it's very open. The Kedusha of Mishlei and Koheles is very, very clear and very open. It's all about Hashem. It's the song that's clearly about Hashem. That you could see that. You could hear that when you learn Mishlei and Koheles. And therefore, Matzina Bam Tevus Kedusha, the Tahara, come upon me. Therefore, there are words of holiness in both Mishlei, Hashem's name, and the Koheles, Hashem's name, and great and many, many words of Kedusha, of holiness that are found in Mishlei and Koheles. Avu b'shir Hashem, eno nimsa Tevus Kedusha, the Tahara klal. In the whole Shir Hashem, there's not one mention of Hashem's name, And there's not one mention of any word of Kedusha. It's all about, like, a guy and a girl. Even things that are like about kissing and about stuff that's not so, doesn't look so nice on the outside, like the talk about it in Tanakh. Yishakeim in the Shikai Spiel. You don't see, when you look at Shir Hashim, you don't see it. Shir Hashim's song is silent. You don't see it on the outside. Although Shir Hashim in a Nimsa Tevas Kedusha with Har Klal. He says, Perk Ayin Tishkov, look for yourself. Shabachol Sefer Shir Hashim, Ein Nimsa Sham, Bechol HaSefer, Shum Tevas Kredish Vatar. There's not one holy word that's found in the whole Shir Hashim. Zemachmas Godel Oitzim Kedusha, so that's because of its great holiness. You don't see any Kedusha. It's too much. Therefore, you can't see in Shir Hashim, you can't see words of Kedusha of Tahara Klal at all. Rabbi Nachman is talking about the song of a simple Jew. The song of a dependable, God-fearing Jew. Of a Jew who is so holy that we don't appreciate, we can't even see his holiness. He doesn't run around jumping up and down. You have people that are davening, they go into these convulsions, all kinds of things. Chalal is not the Rosh Hashanah, the Tzaddikim to make all kinds of strange movements, not even the Poskim to do all kinds of weird things. I had this religious stage when I was around 18. I was in a very religious stage. And by Shemoneh Esrei, I started to do weird things like this. And while I was doing that, my father listened to my ear. He said, "You stop that right now." Okay. I was doing like, you know, the shake and fake thing. All the convulsions, like I can't control my emotions, my love for God can't be controlled. If people didn't walk around. My Davin Shemesh is shaking, making fools of themselves, the spectacles of themselves, because they can't control their movements. You have a Jew that his song is not a song that everybody has to see. It's a song of doing the right thing. Let's see when it comes to going to shul on time, going to seder on time, using the time that you have in the right way, being a dependable friend, a dependable husband, a dependable father, being erlich at work, every penny, every single penny. What do you do with your money? How do you spend your money? How do you talk to other people? That's a song. You don't put that onto any MP3. It doesn't come out on the MP3. But when you see it, when you see a Jew like that, day after day, year after year, you feel, wow, that's the most beautiful song I've ever heard in my life. When you look at the world that Hashem has Baruch made, and you look at it carefully, you say, wow, that's Shir Hashim, it's Mama Shir Hashim. I never heard such a song. Like the story of a Moshe Leib Sasev, it was just his yard site the other day. The Moshe Leib Sasev, his yard site is Dalet Shvat. The Moshe Leib Sasev and the Baba Salam. So the Moshe Leib Sasev, it's a famous story. A famous Hebrew writer told over the story. I'm not going to tell you the whole story because I think you probably know it. I'll just say the first. But there was by Slichas, you know, in Europe they used to say Slichas at 4 o'clock in the morning, not like here where either 10 o'clock at night, which is altogether against the Kabbalah, but to say it, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning, to go 10 minutes early or something. They used to say Mamash 4 o'clock in the morning, Slichas, it was dark. And there were two Misnagim, they were making fun, because Moshe Leib Sasev, they never saw him at Slichas. So they asked the Chassidim, where's the Rabbi? A big holy Rabbi, how come he's not? He doesn't say Slichas, your Rabbi? He wasn't davening another shul. That's why Jews like to live in a neighborhood with a lot of shuls, because no one can ever get you, you know what I mean? Because this way you could always have them thinking that maybe you're davening somewhere else when you're really just at home. But Moshe Leib Sasev davening in the same place every day. So the Misnagdim is saying, oh, your Rabbi doesn't even come to Slichas, big tzaddik, big tzaddik. Yeah. So the Chassidim said, no, Rabbi, Moshe Leib Sasev, our Rabbi, he goes to Shemayim for Slichas. He's in Shemayim. So of course the Misnagdim say, yeah, he's in Shemayim. They're making fun. So what do? The Misnagdim, they would make sure they're going to show the Chassidim what the Rebbe is no tzaddik. He's not in Shemayim. So they went and they were watching the Moshe Leib Sasev. They were looking through the window in the morning when it came time for Slichas, right? And they see there that the Rebbe, the Moshe Leib Sasev, is getting dressed. He's putting on boots like a peasant and a peasant's coat and a cap, and he goes out, and he takes with him an axe. He goes out and he walks into the woods. So these Mesnagdim are following this. What is he doing? He's Slichus. What's he supposed to be saying? Slichus. What's he doing over here? And the Mesnagdim are hiding and they're following him around. And they see a Moshe Lipsasa with his chopping wood. He's chopping wood. And they say, oh, this is the big tzaddik. He's trying to make some parnosa. He has wood. He's whatever. They're following him around. And they see that. And there he goes. The poorest Jews lived at the edge over there by the forest. There was an old almana that lived over there, and the Moshe Lipsasa knocks on the door early in the morning, and she doesn't know. She's just a yid. And she says, who is it? She says, I'm here. I have some wood if you need a fire, because it was freezing cold. And she answers the door, and she says, I would love to have it. I don't have any money. And Moshe Lipsasa says, okay, don't worry, but you pay me a different time. And he takes the wood, and he goes over to the fireplace, and he starts the fire. And as he's starting the fire, he says, L'cho Hashem, Aztok, Evlon, Abayshas, Apav. He starts to say slichas. Man is oidin, man noiba, madid stadi, nachbis adjochirin, nachkoiba. And you say the whole slichas by heart while he was making the woman's, the almana's house warm. And he went to another house. And he was saying slichas from each place. He finished slichas. So that night, the Mesnagdim came to Mincha Ma'ariv, and the Chassidim came. No, did you saw how our Rebbe went to Shemayim for slichas? Because they knew that. They said, we're going to. You saw how the Rebbe went to Shemayim? So it's famous. There's this, the person I wrote the story. They said that the Mesnagdim said, "Im loy lamala miza, your Rebbe goes to some place much higher than Shemayim." That's what it means to be a Jew. There's some people they like the Shemayim stuff. That's exciting. Nervous ila is oisefela. They like that. They get into that. You know, there's a kumzitz every 3 months. That's good. But to get him to daven on time, to get him to shiur on time, to sit and learn an entire seder in a besmedrash, that song, it's very hard. It's a much, much harder song. Rabbi Nachman said, it's shiur shiur, it's kodesh kodesh. So I want to give you and me a bracha, Rabbi Shibuzerich, Mr. Hashem, to get past this snowstorm, and we'll make it past this snowstorm, and right afterwards will be Tu B'Shvat. And already there should be a Tu B'Shvat that not only will be talking about Eretz Yisrael, we'll be able to smell the beautiful smell. Eretz Yisrael starts to have that smell of Tu B'Shvat. We'll be able to smell the smell of Esa Zemir Egiya, of the time of Zmiris, of the Zmiris of David Malka Mashiach, of the Zmiris of David of Mashiach Tzakenu. We should begin to hear it. It should be Mitzvah Shem. Shkayach.